You know, a lot of times we take and we read in the Bible, we see people's names and stuff. We really don't know who they are, what they are, where they came from, or much about them, because the Bible doesn't really talk a lot about some of the people. But I want to look to today at a person by the name of Andrew. His name has no real significance other than it was a commonly named person of that day. But if you take a look at Andrew's family, he was living in Bethsaida, a small city along the Sea of Galilee. There were two cities called Bethsaida. One was about 3 miles inland. There was this one that was right along the seashore. Now, they also had a home in Capernaum. Now, Andrew's family, they lived by the seashore during the fishing season, then they lived inland during the rest of the year. But Andrew was the son of Jonas. Jonas was a fisherman and taught Andrew how to support himself by fishing. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, Andrew was the brother of Peter. It's unclear if there were any other brothers or sisters who were in the family. However, it could be assumed that there were others. Many of the families of that day had quite a few children. And so they could have had a lot more brothers and sisters than what they was there, but we see that Peter and Andrew were brothers. Now, Andrew was a very religious man. Andrew was much like many of the of that day, looking for the Messiah to come. He may have listened to the rabbis teach about the coming of the Messiah and was interested in knowing more about what would happen in the future. Now, Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. He was one of John the Baptist's disciples. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples," and one of them was Andrew. In John chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." Now, it's unclear how long Andrew had been following John. However, we do know that he was there when John had told his followers that there would be one greater than he, and that he must decrease, but he who was going to come after him must increase. It's believed that Andrew had was baptized by John in the Jordan, much like Jesus was. And it's unclear, however, how many believe, or how many that Andrew had been had baptized. Now, it's not clear, however. Many believe that Andrew may have been present at the baptism of the Lord, but we're not told that by John. And he may have seen the Holy Spirit descending upon John as what? As a dove. And we need to realize that that would have been quite a sight, wouldn't it, though? You know, here's John, or here's Andrew standing alongside and watching the Lord go down into the river, being baptized by John, and seeing a dove land upon him and a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now, we need to realize that Andrew was no special person for John. He was just a disciple of his, and he followed John from place to place. But when Jesus came on the scene, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Those who were present knew immediately that this must have been the Messiah. They knew right away that with John saying, "Behold the Lamb of God," that this was the one that John had been talking about, who must increase and he must decrease. Now, Andrew was a soul winner. Not only was he a religious man, but he was also a soul winner. In John chapter 1, verse 41, it says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." Now, Andrew realized he had found Jesus, and he wanted his brother to know the same or have the same salvation that he had found. He knew by just being in the presence of the Lord that there was something different about him than what John was. There was something different about the Lord than what John had. Now, they lodged with Jesus that night. And so here we see that Jesus had Andrew and Peter stay overnight with him. But, you know, they longed for eternal life. You know, they wanted to know how to have eternal life. Now, we shouldn't, you know, we should be no different. We should want to see everyone that we come in contact with get saved. We should, anybody that we come in contact with, we should try to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it should be our greatest desire to see all of our family saved and on their way to heaven. You know, we can do a lot of things, you know, for our families, but we cannot get them to heaven. We can show them how to get to heaven, but we can't get them to heaven ourselves. And, you know, our testimony, believe it or not, is very important to our families. Very important. Now, my wife's family, most of them aren't saved. And, you know, they post a lot of really goofy things on social media and stuff. But yet, you know, they make fun of us and everything else because we live a life that's separate from the world. You know, and my two sister-in-laws, they drink a lot of wine. They go to wine parties, go to wine tasting, they go to, you know. And so anyway, my sister-in-law, she said to me one day, she says, well, she says, I don't see what's so wrong with drinking wine. And I said, well, have you had a heart attack? She goes, yeah. I said, has your sister had a heart attack? She goes, yeah. I said, so I said, your younger sister has never had a heart attack, and she doesn't drink wine. Now, I said, what do you think the difference is between your lifestyle and her lifestyle? They could not answer that question. They just couldn't. And so what they're seeing is that even though we live a separated life, our lives are different than what they are. And we try our hardest to take and show them the way to heaven just through our testimony of our lives. You know, showing them through God's Word how they can receive Christ as their personal Savior. I was reading an article yesterday in The Sword of the Lord. Did you get this last Sword of the Lord? Did you read the article in there about Southern Baptist Conference? Oh, okay. No, this one, Southern Baptist Conference came out with their own Bible. I don't know. I read it, and I couldn't even believe it. I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm going. And the thing of it is, the so many things in it have they changed it so bad that. Yeah, yeah. So it's unbelievable. But anyway, but we need to realize that we can show a person through God's Word how that they can take and be saved. You know, we need to realize that it's through our testimony and through God's Word many times that can take and lead a person to the Lord. I was talking to a guy the other day, and we got talking about religion. I don't know why it is whenever they find out that I'm a preacher, they want to talk about religion. I think they want to find out how much I really know about the Bible. Well, we got to talking about this and that, and so finally I looked at him and I said, let me ask you something. I said, you're pretty adverse in the Bible, it sounds like. Oh yeah, he says, I know the Bible real well. I said to him, I said, if you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? And he said, well, I'd go to heaven. I said, well, how do you know that? He says, because I know the Bible. And I said, okay. I said, are you a sinner? Well, yeah. I said, do you know there's a penalty for your sin? What do you mean by that? So I showed him. And then I said, the gift that it's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, you've got to have a personal relationship with him. If you don't, I said, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. And I said, you can believe in any book you want, but if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is and what he did, I said, you're not going to heaven. And he got mad at me. I couldn't even believe it. But anyway, there's people like that out there. But you know, we need to take and show them why it's important for them to turn their lives over to the Lord. You know, there's an awful lot of people today living their own life. They want to take and do things their way because they feel it's the only way that they can be happy. And, you know, there's so many people today out there walking around miserable because they don't look to the Lord for their guidance. You know, we should want to be like Andrew. And we need to take in, we want to see our families saved. You know, I was talking to somebody one day, and I said to him, I said, have you ever witnessed to any of your family members? And they said, well, no. I said, why not? Well, because they won't listen. I said, how do you know? Well, because they believe, you know, X, Y, Z, or whatever. And I said to him, I said, how are they going to learn or how are they going to know what the gospel message is if you don't tell them? And they looked at me and they go, yeah, I guess you're right. But you know, it's hard for us to witness to our relatives, isn't it? Because we're afraid that we might what? Offend them. Yeah, we might offend them. And we don't want to have family divisions, do we? You know, if there ever was a family that has a division, it's mine. You know, my youngest daughter and I, we get along really good. Why? Because she believes the way I do. She believes that God's word is true. She believes that the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. She's saved. She knows she's on her way to heaven. But my oldest daughter, if you bring up religion, look out. Because she doesn't believe the way I do, and believe me, there is a huge division. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. If she doesn't want to talk to me, that's fine. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's the thing, you know, is there seems to be like, especially in the day and age that we live in with social media and things like that, people don't want to hear you say anything about the Bible. You know, they don't. You know, it was Andrew who is believed to have brought the lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 small fishes to the Lord to be used to feed the 5,000. Now, you know, I don't believe that it was Andrew's intention to lead somebody to the Lord. But yet he did. Can you imagine Andrew walking up to this little boy and saying, hey, what do you got for lunch? What do you got for lunch today? Little boy says, well, I've got two small fishes and I got 5 little biscuits. And he says, how would you like to take and meet the Lord? Oh, man, that'd be great. You know, it'd be like you or I and somebody walking up to us and saying, hey, how would you like to meet President Trump? You know what I mean? You know, here's this little boy in amongst all these people, and they signaled him out, and I think that Andrew brought him to the Lord and said, "Here's the Lord." And he looks at him and he says, "Can I have your lunch?" You know what I mean? I mean, that'd be kind of cool. But you know, it was Andrew who was the one who took it's believed that he took the lunch from the little boy. But all of us need to be ready on a second notice to take and show someone how to find the Savior. You know, you never know who you're going to talk to when all of a sudden they're going to say, "Well, you know, I don't believe that God is as good as God, or as you say God is, because all of the bad that has happened in the world. Look at all of the school shootings." And you know the first thing I say is, "Well, God's not in the schools. God's not in public schools." And they say, "What do you mean by that?" I say, "Well, 1964, they took God out of schools. Took prayer out of schools. Bible too." And what we need to realize is that you know, God left the schools and bad things are going to happen. But then I want to look at Andrew's call for just a minute. In Matthew chapter, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." You know, when Jesus called Andrew and Peter, look at what their occupation was. Their occupation was fishers. You know, they were out fishing. They were trying to make a living to support their family. They were trying to do what they had been taught by their dad in order to make a living. Now, it's interesting to notice this. It says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway, the word straightway means immediately. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, you know, they didn't ask how much they were going to get paid. They didn't ask what kind of a 401k they were going to have. They didn't ask what kind of insurance they were going to have. You know, they didn't ask if they were going to travel for first class or coach. You know, they forsook all and followed the Lord. You know, Jesus would make them fishers of men, and and they would become some of the first soul winners. Now, when God calls us into service, we need to forsake all and follow him. You know, there's no greater occupation than to be in the service of the King. No greater occupation. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. You know, I think of the West Coast. You know, they were just starting out on their missionary journey in Cameron. And they went down there as a family. They were going to start a ministry. They were going to start a church down there. And they were down there for 3 weeks. And he got killed. And what we need to realize is that he was doing exactly what God had called him to do. Even though God took him away from what he had called him to do early, he was still going to do what God had called him to do. We need to realize that we need to immediately go and serve the King. I was reading an article a thing on Facebook that Mrs. Westco had put out. And I didn't realize that they were originally from Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh. And they're through the Wildwood Baptist Missions. That's who they were supported by. But they were sent out of her dad's church in Indiana. But I thought the name sounded familiar for some reason. And then as I got to reading a little bit more about them and that, he had a huge part in Wildwood's ministry at the AA, Experimental Aircraft Association annual meeting in Oshkosh. And when we were up there, Wildwood had a huge, huge ministry during the EAA. They would have services every night. And we went to them. And I got to know Brother King real well and everything. And what we need to realize is that they were doing what God had called them to do. You know, I believe that one day He said, "Here am I, send me," to Cameron. And that's what God did. We have no idea why God took him out early, but I guarantee that God is going to be honored and glorified for what had happened. You know, there's a way too many today will sit back and they'll say, "Well, you know what? I don't want to do what God wants me to. I'm going to sit back and let Tuck do it. I'm going to let Bob do it. I'd rather have them do it than me." Or we have an awful lot of parents today where their kids will say, "Well, you know what, I want to be a missionary." And mom and dad say, "Well, you're not going to go to one of these third world countries where there's danger." Amen? You know, but here we see that Andrew was ready to forsake everything that he had and follow the Lord. We also need to be ready to take up what God has given us and follow Him. Now, he was also a helper. In John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, "One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, Here is a lad which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what is that amongst so many?" You know, who was the one who found the lad? Andrew. Who was the one who helped pass out the food? Andrew. Who was the one to help pick up all the baskets afterwards? Andrew. Who was the one who asked Jesus, "Well, what is this to so many people?" Andrew. But you know what? He was there to help. He was a helper. He wanted to take and be able to help the Lord in anything that he could possibly do. You know, nowhere in the Scripture does it say Andrew became a great preacher or a great evangelist. It does show him as a great helper doing whatever that he could to further the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? That's what we need in our churches today. We need helpers. Amen? You know, we need people who can take and help out in different areas of the church. You know, we need people that can clean the church. We need people to do maintenance around the church. We need people to do a lot of different things in the church. And, you know, we need to take and we need to have helpers in the church. You know, there's always something for someone to do in the church. Amen? You know, wait a minute, is there anything that gets everything done in the church all the time? Huh? You know, I really believe that there's a lot of people that think that as long as the doors are open on Sunday morning, everything just kind of gets done. It doesn't work that way. Somebody has to do it. You know, William, every day, he's carrying out trash. Larry, he's in here vacuuming, cleaning up. You know, we need to realize that it takes a lot of people helping to keep the Lord's work operating. But then I want to look at his death. You know, we're not told anywhere in Scripture where he died or what happened to him after action of the Lord. But after Pentecost, however, tradition says this, that after the Lord's ascension, Andrew was appointed to preach in Cytha and the neighboring countries. According to the historians, after the apostle had planted the gospel in several places, he came to Patri in Arcadia and were endeavoring to convert the proconsul. He was, by the governor's orders, first scourged, then he was crucified. Now, the time of his suffering, martyrdom, is not known, but all the ancient and modern mythologists of Greek and Latin agree in that is he died somewhere about the 30th of November. His body was embalmed and interred at Patri, and we need to realize that he had a good ministry. He started churches. He was a soul winner. He wanted to see people saved, and it was afterwards that his body was removed by Constantinople. There we go, by Constantine the Great, who buried it in the great church, which he had built in the honor of the apostle. Now, it's not known for what reason painters represent Andrew's cross as an X. Now, if you take and you look at painters that have painted Andrew, you'll see that his cross was in an X. It wasn't in a cross. They don't know for sure if he was crucified that way or if that's just the way they did it. They have no idea. But many believe that when he was crucified on a cross that was in an X instead of the cross like the Lord was crucified on. And we need to understand that all of us can be an Andrew. There's not one of us in here that can't be an Andrew. If we will take and we'll listen to what God has called us to do, and we forsake all and we follow Him, we can be an Andrew. We can be a help. We can do the things that God wants us to do for His honor and glory. But we just have to be willing to do it. You know, Andrew could have said, well, you know what? I'm going to continue to follow John and not follow the Lord. But he didn't. Him and Peter forsook all, left their nets, and they followed the Lord Jesus. And you know, each and every one of us have the same opportunity to take and just let go and let God take care of everything. Amen? I know Brother Echols knows what it's like to just let go and let God. And, it's hard to do sometimes, but we just need to take and do that. But all right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll help us to be like Andrew. I pray that you'd help us be soul winners. Help us to be a help to you. We just pray, Lord, that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. Be with us now. Be the service to follow. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, there's still food back there. There's pancakes. There's